Hello and welcome to the Hellgate podcast. I'm Adlin Jackson, a writer and editor here at Hellgate, our local worker-owned news outlet based in New York City. Last week on Hellgate, we published our second annual March Madness of Hot Takes bracket. Last year's episode is in our back catalog, but we've got a fresh batch of steaming hot New York City takes for 2024 up now on the site. If you haven't seen the bracket, head over to hellgatenyc.com, and while you're there, go ahead and subscribe to support independent journalism. Today, we've gathered a few of the Hellgate worker owners to debate some of our favorite takes from the Triborough, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Queensborough conferences, from Cuomo for mayor to clipping your nails on the subway. With me, I've got Nick Pinto.
Hey, how's it going?
Katie Way.
Hey.
Christopher Robbins.
Yo.
And Max Rivlin-Nadler.
Hello.
First up from the Triborough conference, we've got, if you live within a 15-minute walk of a restaurant, you should not be allowed to order delivery from it, versus you should only be able to order delivery from restaurants within a 15-minute walk from you.
This is a really classic 5-12 battle, 5-seed versus 12-seed battle, in that they're both kind of pretty equally matched. This is a tough one.
I think I understand the 5-seed here is you shouldn't be, if you can't walk to it, it's too far away. And like, let's not make people peddle food across the city for us. What is the rationale behind the 12 seed that you should only... No, wait, I've got it backwards. My question stands. Why should... So someone talk me through this bracket.
It's broken, Nick. Right off the bat.
Okay, so to me, it's like how much... What is delivery for, right? Is it for someone to ferry you... you know, delightful food from a mile plus away? Or is it for someone to just pop out of one of your favorite restaurants and walk two blocks and ring your buzzer and you go down and pick it up? And to me, like that makes the most sense, that second scenario, because food that is ferried from so far away, it gets cold. You're making someone travel a great distance to bring it to you. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's always more of a production. If you have to order delivery, just have it be, you know, something close.
In the pre Uber Grubhub days, there was like very clearly delineated kind of areas that you could order food from. Like, if you called your Chinese food place or your pizza place, they like pretty much were like really, in the city at least, reticent to go beyond like 15 blocks. And that was for like a few reasons, which is like, I don't want somebody to get stuck on a delivery when they've got another pizza to deliver. It was also like the food will be freshest, so people won't complain and yell at us if it comes cold. And so like, I feel like now with the advent of like ghost kitchens and people I've seen actually delivering food over the bridges, obviously this has been taken like way too far. But I do want to like allow for kind of the scenario where delivery would work, which is, you know, people who it's tough to get outside, you know, parent with two screaming kids that just needs a pizza right now. I think keeping it within a 15-minute walk while still allowing delivery would basically make the city a much saner and safer place.
I will say one weird wrinkle and this is a few years old, but when I shadowed a delivery guy, he would save his closest deliveries to the restaurant for last. So he would get all of his stuff, he would go outward and then work back in. So in like using that logic, you know, ordering close to you kind of works against you if your delivery guy works that way, because you are the last in the line and your food might not be its warmest at that point.
But if it's two blocks away, why don't you just go get it? Like,
I allow for the carve out for the parent with screaming kids / person who getting outside is tough for, but not the 24-year-old who lives down your hall who you've seen Uber every freaking meal for the past month. And they always ring your doorbell when they're trying to get over to your doorbell and your dog hates it. And it's really fucking annoying.
Do you all go downstairs? Do you do some pre-walking if you ever get delivery, or do you?
What does that mean?
That means like buzzer is rung. You go downstairs to intercept delivery and then bring it back up.
Yeah, you don't make the guy like come up six flights of stairs to...
I agree, but I'm just making sure that everyone on this call is on the same page here.
I can't buzz anyone into my apartment. I have to get everyone at the door. So, okay.
Interesting.
You know, Yeah. Great. Just a little insight to my life.
Right. This is assuming a working buzzer, which like half apartments do not have.
All right. In this matchup, do we all agree with Max's take and also my take, which is that if you live within a 15-minute walk of a restaurant, you should not. Or no, sorry. You should only be allowed to order delivery from restaurants within a 15-minute walk.
No.
That's what I'm voting for.
Those are the ones you have to go get yourself.
Right, but at the same time, it would cut down on the amount of things that people are ordering because it's just a 15-minute walk, while also meaning that the people that really order, that need to order, are like the ones that need to be served by this. And ultimately making it, returning delivery to its roots, which is that if a restaurant is fucking far away from you, you can't order from it because it's stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I get the thing of, like, you just need food to appear. You only have a 15-minute window, and you just need food to appear prepared in front of you, I guess.
Give us the contrary take. We need one.
It simply is just like, just go get it. Just if it's so close, just go get it. Like, when you order a pizza from the place down the street, like your pizza place, do you have them deliver it? I feel like everyone just like, if it's like you're ordering from the place around the corner, you're just like, you just go get it.
I feel like this was going to be a really fun conversation in which we could like get on an extremely high moral horse and excoriate people who disagree with us right up until Max introduced the existence of people with mobility issues. And that sort of took the wind out of this one.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, that created a bad vibe, Max. Thanks a lot.
Here's an argument for picking up your food, which is I picked up a pizza last weekend and I was waiting for it. And the guy at the bar poured me a glass of Prosecco just because I was waiting. And we had that nice, you know, so pick up your food.
There's Rico Chicken in Sunnyside will give you an entire glass of wine while you wait for your chicken if you go and do takeout. And they will not bring it to you if you order delivery. So.
Well, I guess, you know, maybe I can try to come up with like an argument for number five, which is that, you know, it would, if we changed, you know, if we somehow someone was like, Hellgate, like, please fix delivery food in New York City. And we ended up enacting this 15-minute walk rule. It just kind of like fundamentally changes the nature of like delivery in the city, which I guess, you know, seems like what people here want. But at the same time, like, that's assuming, you know, it's like, what is delivery? What purpose does delivery serve in your lives? Is it just like, oh, your regular, like, casual dinner? Or is it like, oh, I'm like, I'm so hungover, I'm manually blinking, and I feel I cannot actually make a 15 minute walk, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Like, I just think there's a wider spectrum here that we're not really exploring. You know, I'm comfortable being outvoted. That's fine. Progress, you know, progress doesn't come without its casualties.
Are we voting or are we just sort of teeing up these matchups for...
There's no way we're voting.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Should be a good matchup.
Yeah. Next up we have Andrew Cuomo should be mayor. It's a proper punishment for his misdeeds versus Bill de Blasio is a catch. This is easy. This one is easy.
So the answer is?
So the answer is Bill de Blasio is a man about town, and we all love, like, he's brought the most joy to the city that he ever has as a bachelor in his entire political career.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but think of how deeply unhappy and pissed off all the time Andrew Cuomo would be as mayor, having to do dipshit mayor stuff that you have to do, including the most embarrassing shit of all, which is going to Albany and asking for your budget. Like, the problem with being mayor is that you're completely hemmed in on all sides. You don't actually have that much power, whereas being governor, you have a tremendous amount of power. But being mayor, man, that sucks. Everyone hates you for things that are mostly out of your control.
That one is like something out of classical mythology. It's diabolical.
Yeah. So the real question is, like, would you rather see Bill de Blasio live his best life or Andrew Cuomo hate his existence, like, in a very public way?
I think Bill de Blasio's best life would be him living his best life as, like, this man about town single bachelor while watching Andrew Cuomo being mayor and fucking hating every second of it. Like, that, like, this is why Adlin's right. Bill de Blasio wins this one, because even if he gets defeated by the, you know, the higher seed here, he's still living his best life.
Well, okay, I have a question about how we're having these conversations. Are we saying which opinion is better, or are we saying which take is hotter? Because it actually, it sounds like everyone agrees that Bill de Blasio is a sexy ass catch that we'd all love to hit the town with. But, you know, I think it's a little bit more controversial to inflict Andrew Cuomo on the city of New York just because, you know, we think he should pay for his alleged, you know, that, misdeeds.
That is why I think the Andrew Cuomo take wins this matchup, because the de Blasio take is not a controversial one necessarily. Whereas, right, like making Cuomo mayor is a, he would then have power over millions of people's lives. And that's not, maybe not something we want to wave a magic wand and just will into existence, but it would be amusing, you know, in some respects.
Yeah. The issue with Andrew Cuomo becoming mayor is then Andrew Cuomo would be the mayor.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there's a real cutting off your nose to spite your face situation there. I mean, you do also raise an interesting question, which points to the fact that, like, we have never actually specified or resolved the open question of like what this bracket is and whether. And I think this is actually the secret to its popularity, is that it's totally unresolved. Do contestants advance through this bracket by being correct but unspeakable? Do they advance through the bracket by being clearly wrong but delightfully so? Do they advance just by being controversial in some spicy way?
We got to go to commercial, but we'll have the answer when we come back.
Yeah, listen to the end to find out which is correct.
Guys, I just want you to imagine all of the cool things that Andrew could name after his dad in New York City were he mayor.
We'll think about that over the break too.
Okay, let's move on to the Queensborough Conference. First up, we've got the Carbone Private Dining Club looks fun and I would appreciate an invitation versus if you live in an apartment with a dog and it barks for hours every time you leave it alone, your neighbors are not in the wrong for complaining to your landlord. Who's pro-tattling?
Well, Chris, I think maybe we could start with Chris being... Chris, you're pro-Carbone, right? You want some of that spaghetti.
No, I'm maybe the most anti-Carbone private spaghetti club person on this call, but...
What it is?
Right. So the private clubs are all the rage now in New York City. I'm Googling right now how much the Carbone Spaghetti Club costs, but it's, you know, it's like from the makers of overhyped red sauce social media place that is impossible to eat at. Like, what if you had that same experience, but with like a country club vibe? And that's what the private spaghetti club is, which spaghetti, you know, come on. It's like it's insulting to be a part of a private spaghetti club. I hope they all get food poisoning.
I do think whenever I see the TikTokers talking about like their like fun, cool Italian places that are just serving like red sauce Italian with like a gallon of sugar in there, that like I shouldn't really be making fun of these kids because they are like 19 and they're eating children's food. But to elevate it now to like this private dining experience of like sugary pasta mush seems wrong.
It's a $20,000 initiation fee.
Oh, fuck.
Followed by $10,000 a year in dues to eat spaghetti with losers. I'm sorry.
Counterpoint, if anyone wants to take me there, my inbox is open, adlin@hellgatenyc.com. I would love to go there. You know,
Katie.
Counterpoint, second, yeah. Counterpoint 1A, it's a place with food and probably music. So how bad can it be if you're not paying?
Oh, but you are.
Oh, I'm not.
But then why not apply that to literally any, like, any other place that's not a private club?
Well, invite me. What I'm trying to say is invite me. Invite me to things.
Yeah. I believe this is Katie's take. Katie, defend your love of the private spaghetti club.
I mean, similar to Adlin, you know, as they say, I would go to the opening of an envelope. If there's free food, I'm there. If there's free food that not very many people have access to, I'm there, and I'm flicking up the experience in a huge way. My private Instagram story is going crazy in that situation. Would I ever pay to be a member? Absolutely not. I barely pay to be a member of anything. I don't even have a Hulu account. But would I appreciate an invitation to something exclusive? Absolutely. And I also want the record to show that the famous dish at Carbone is a rigatoni, and it's good. It tastes good. So, you know.
Private Spaghetti Club sounds funnier though.
Wait. How many people on this call have been to Carbone?
I have not been to Carbone.
I've been, wow. And I didn't pay a dime. So
I'm banned from most Italian restaurants in the city for reasons.
Here's why I will argue for snitching on someone in your apartment building because their dog's barking. Because maybe the dog needs help and attention, and they're not.
They'll text your neighbor, be like, "What's up with the dog?"
What if they keep barking? What if they're like, "Oh, he's fine."
I think it's situational. This is again where I'm going to be the bummer and like talk about things that are sick or not on the level. But like, you know, I had a dog across the hall that was like, I watched it age, right? And then it got to the age where the dog's barking at ghosts. And I was just like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just barking at ghosts. And like, this is the last phase in a dog's life. And then one day, guys, it stopped barking.
Max killed a dog is what he's trying to announce on the Hot Take podcast.
You don't need to call the landlord, guys. You could just shut him up yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to... Okay. This is a spicy meatball. Whatever. if someone on the street asked you for a dollar and you pull out your wallet and all you have is $20, you must give them the $20. Versus if you see someone selling candy up on the subway, buy some candy. What if I don't want candy?
What about gum?
Yeah.
You always need gum.
That's been like a improvement in my life is how much gum I've bought on the subway from the migrant vendors, and that I don't have a jacket that doesn't have a gum thing in it right now.
I'm just going to say that I totally take it as given that both of these takes are well-intentioned, but I think they both sort of fail to engage with the reality, which is that people with $20 in their wallet and or candy money, if these rules were to go into effect, are, you know, they're not going to stay in New York City. They're going to move to Florida. They're going to move to places where they don't encounter this kind of tax. And like, that's going to hit the tax base, and it's ultimately bad for New York City.
This is why we need progressive candy taxation.
That's a sobering point, Nick. And I think we should all sit with it.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't thought about that before.
Yeah, that's right. Ironclad. That's you know, actually really ironclad logic.
This is why, you know, I keep most of my walking around money in my digital wallet so that, you know, if the candy sellers want to, you know, dap my phone and I can transfer a little bit of hell ape to them, then that's fine. But I think the candy, buy some candy thing is like, it's good, but to me, it's the same principle, but why run from the $20 bill rule? You know, like, what are you really afraid of? And so if you really believe in buying candy, you should also truly just believe in the $20 rule.
I mean, I think people
so the $20 rule wins.
People should have cash on them. People should have like ones, fives, tens, and twenties on them at all times because you're an adult. They need to conduct business in the city.
It's also fun to go up to a bank teller and tell them you want $100 in, you know, 320s, 5.5s, 5.1s.
Did anyone have their relative who would always have a stack of $2 bills that you can get from the bank, which you can still get? It's pretty. It's like the cool, like you want to freak out like a 6-year-old, just be like, check this shit out. You want some money? And then they're like, oh, my God. I'm tempted to do that sometimes when I walk by the bank.
Yeah, I will say that in all earnestness, the $20 give people $20 take is the only challenging take on our entire bracket for me personally, except for the ones about killing people if they don't like congestion pricing or whatever. Like, I don't know if that, I'm paraphrasing, but I feel like that's on there. So I think it's definitely the hotter take, and I would kind of like to see it in action. I think it would be net positive, you know.
If you're enjoying this conversation, can I ask you to subscribe to Hellgate?
Hellgate is a worker-owned news outlet that is powered by your subscriptions. Subscribe now at our highest level and get a brand new Hellgate tote bag. We've tested this tote bag out. You could fit so much stuff in there. I could barely see the bottom of this tote bag. Anyway, subscribe, and now back to our conversation.
Let's just move on to the Williamsburg Conference. And the first take is those nut vendors should be banned for false advertising. They're not that good. Versus clipping your nails on the subway is fine, but eating on the subway is not. Which is like, I mean, if we're doing the thing of just like the most infuriating take wins, that this one wins by a mile, because this is just like a world that none of us want to live in.
Galdingly provocative take.
It's so nasty. It pisses me off so bad. Like, I think that it's like, how can you actually say that with a straight face, that you should clip your nails on the subway, but eating is the gross option? Like, I wish Esther was here.
Yeah, we all know who put this here.
If she were here, I think what she would say is just like, this is about states of matter. And like food, you know, it generates smells. It's like saucy. It might spill on my pants. It can permeate the membrane in ways that like a little chip of nail follicle, you know, like that doesn't hurt me. Like, the very worst thing that happens is that it like skitters across the floor and like touches my shoe, and like no harm done.
But this person,
that's
the person who argues that,
that's the worst thing that could happen.
The person who makes that argument also doesn't go to restaurants or bars and stays at home and doesn't behold any other normal function in society where it's like no one like rolls up to the bar and starts clipping their toenails. You know what I mean? Like,
also clipping nails, like, the dynamic, they jump around when they get clipped. They're hard to control. That's why you do that in a private space where you can control what's happening.
100% agree with you, Adlin. The person who is clipping their nails on the subway is not like, oh, let me like very carefully like collect them in my, no, that's getting on your sweater. And also, food, like, while it can create, you know, spills and smells, etc., at least it's alerting you of its presence. You could be, unbeknownst to yourself, in the presence of clipped nails. Then you get to your destination and you have nails on you. That's literally like hell on earth. That's the worst thing I can imagine.
We've got a lot of icks. I just want to pay a little attention to the first take that it's facing off here, and which is obviously it's defeating. Is the nuts for nuts. You're absolutely right, whoever put this here, that it is a total lie. They don't taste nearly as good as you think they're going to taste.
But that's wrong.
On a brisk late October day?
No, wait, I didn't finish. It's like, you know, have you guys ever been to Europe? You know, they've got the chestnuts with the little charcoal and that. Now that's something you want on a brisk day.
I also want to take issue with how this take was worded, which I did, I believe, when we put the bracket together, but no one listens to me, which was that it's not false advertising. They're telling you that these nuts are for nuts. Like, you got to be nuts for these nuts. It's not like delightful little subtle nut, cute Euro nut. It's, these nuts are fucking crazy. If you want to be a part of this, like, you're also fucking out of your mind. Here's some nuts that are encased in burnt sugar and hair and whatever else is in Midtown. Okay. We can move on.
Okay, so next up we have, there should be a thing where on every subway car, one person is algorithmically selected to be able to share their phone screen onto all the video screens in the car, versus, if you actually want me to compost, I'm going to need a city-sponsored coupon booklet or a tax write-off or some other incentive. Until then, my food waste is going in the trash.
I just want to preface this discussion by saying, before Nick wrote down the algorithmic phone screen sharing with the group, he did say, maybe this is just a really good idea. So I think that's important context for our listeners.
This is a whole other category of things in the bracket, like just good, just wish casting, just good ideas that should be true.
Just to clarify, do you mean that your cell phone video then projects on the MTA's screens or right, everyone else's yes. phones?
I mean, that would be the deluxe option. But yeah, right. no, I was thinking of the MTA.
So instead of the like so tasty videos that are like disgusting, as discussed previously on the Hellgate podcast, that are like horror, it would be like what other people videos other people are watching. So like fight videos, a lot of boxing, a decent amount of pornography, like very loud autoplay videos from a website a woman is looking at who like doesn't know to plug in her headphones and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Just like
it would just be random
conversations with aunties. Yeah, all of those things. And yeah, and the rationale, I mean, I don't think this needs any, I think it's self-evident why this is a good idea, but just like just to explain it briefly, like, you know, I think we're all aware of how atomized our experience is in the modern city. You get on a subway car and everyone's just looking at their phones and everyone's in their own little tunnel. And it didn't used to be that way. And what if we kept the phones, but we turned it into something where, like, on this ride, you're going to go down into this guy's tunnel and you're going to share that tunnel with him and we're all going to be together. And, you know, it's not, obviously, there are going to be a lot of unpleasant tunnels. There are going to be some dark tunnels. But I think it's going to bring us closer together.
I think it would be fun, actually. I'm kind of sold on it. I would play some good stuff. So maybe others as well.
I think you should have to sponsor everyone's subway ride if that's what you want to do.
Like, no, because that brings us back to the shitty ads. Like then like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, but
it's
no.
got to be random. Mm.
And is the sound on? Because if so, I have some slightly controversial podcasts I'd like to spotlight and make sure everyone hears the message behind.
Yeah, there's a few things I'd like everyone on the subway train to Google at their earliest convenience, and I'll find a way to tell them to do it.
Can I just say that I think the fact that the composting take isn't very spicy, like in other words, like no one would. I don't know. Would any of us like actually take this position? I don't think so. And the fact that we wouldn't is signs of progress.
Wait, I think Katie explicitly did take this position.
Sorry
to narc you out, Katie. But.
No, that's okay. I would also compost if my super started taking out the compost. But when I was doing it, he was just leaving it in there and I was scared I was creating a bad situation. So I stopped. But yeah, I wouldn't use the coupons. You know, like I could be better. I don't own a car, so
yeah.
I think we could all, you know, examine our environmental impact, perhaps.
Yeah,
you know? But that's for another podcast, maybe.
Yeah, I like the idea of us getting cute little treats, like the place I used to compost, the farmer's market I would bring it to. They actually did keep score, and at the end of the season of like fall, they gave us a pie for most consecutive days bringing compost, which is obviously very cool and logistically challenging. But like, even if it's like surplus swag that the city has, and it was somehow tracking how many times I went to one of their like compost drop-off sites, like I would love to get another I'm a Vax champion tote bag, because I know they have 10 million of those, and it would be cool if they just like crossed out with Sharpie and said compost champion.
You know, this is like when you read 100 books over the summer at the library, or you raise money for Jump Rope for Heart. Like, no one was going to raise money for Jump Rope for Heart if you didn't get a sweatshirt, you know? So I think, is it not a positive and good for society idea to get more people composting, you know, with incentives? So, you know, maybe... I guess not everyone's composting from the goodness of their heart, but does that really matter?
Maybe the person with the most compost gets control of the video screens on their next subway ride.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah, actually, they both win. Yeah.
I really hate that Mike composted all that stuff, and we keep watching all these, I don't know what Mike would watch, all these subway surfing videos on the subway. It really sends a bad message.
But a cool message. No, cut that. No,
sweet. Let's go to Brooklyn. RIP to Flocko. We have two Flocko based takes going head to head. We have Flacco should have lived out the rest of his life in a cage the size of a minivan versus all the animals in the Central Park Zoo should be freed and allowed to roam the streets of New York City like Flacco. This is a blockbuster.
What I like about this matchup is that sort of these are the only two intellectually consistent positions you can take on Flacco and zoos. And so we all have to choose, and they're both difficult to really get our heads around.
Either an owl and other wild animals should spend their lives in inadequate cages in the center of the city, or we have to be okay with that, or we need to release them, but not in like kind of a planned way where we bring them back to a place where like they would actually survive, but instead just like Flacco style, throw open the doors and be like, come what may.
Yeah, just snow leopards roaming Fifth Avenue.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm into that one.
Snow leopards are not clipping their nails in the subway, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, the fatality rate, the mortality rate would be like up like 95%. You know, most of these are dead within a few weeks, but those weeks.
Yeah, it's almost inconceivable to argue that an animal should remain in a cage. Like, I don't know, it's just hard to make that argument.
I mean, it wasn't hard for the Manhattan Institute. That was their position on this. Was the Flacco episode illustrates that things should be in cages.
But as Max's blog post this week pointed out, you know, Flacco died because not necessarily because you know of New York's chaotic sort of. He didn't die because he was a bad hunter or that he was too cowed by existence in a cage to make a living in New York. He died because we as a society put poison out everywhere in every nook and cranny in our streets because our garbage is overflowing. And that poison makes its way into the great chain of being. And when Flacco became part of that chain outside of his cage, he died. Also like pigeon herpes or something.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Which, if you're a pigeon listening to this, please get tested.
Get tested.
There's no stigma anymore. Go get tested, pigeons. But right. So I'm pro open the gates and come what may. I think zoos are depressing. We have planet Earth, you know, and by that I don't mean the actual planet, I mean the David Attenborough series that people can watch. No one goes to menageries anymore. Like, what are we doing here?
I also think for bracket purposes, even though we all agree with the take that all the animals should be freed, it's still the hotter take because that obviously won't happen. And what will happen in reality is that all these animals will die in their cages. So, you know, it got a little somber on the Hot Takes podcast.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. So you're saying that the hotter take is the let them rot in the cage take?
No. I'm saying that free the zoo animals and let them just like chill in the city. They'd probably all just like live in Central Park. I feel like it's like,
yeah,
literally this wouldn't even be bad. I think nothing bad would happen.
I think let's bear in mind the old saying that a free all the zoo animals advocate is just a keep all the zoo animals in cages person who hasn't been bitten by a lion yet.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Damn, it's true.
Today's podcast their... sponsored by Palantir.
Yeah, they've been in their little bubble, but the bubble is in the Bronx Zoo bubbles where you get to pretend you're a groundhog, a prairie dog, and like stick your head out and stuff. And that's how I've been living my life, really. And the cruel harshness of all of these animals actually interfacing with me without that spherical barrier is going to really bring me down.
Just make yourself look big or whatever, right? Like, that's what they say. Just like shout.
Yeah.
Be fine.
It works on all of them. What's the last animal surviving that we free from the Central Park Zoo that would, you know, go all drug lord kingpins, rhinos, you know, hippos? Like what would like take residence in Central Park and multiply?
Penguins are fucked. Like they will die probably.
Yeah, it's not good for them.
Red panda?
This might be a question for next year's bracket.
Yeah. Which next year's bracket is just all of the animals and be like,
which, yeah, power which, rankings. Yeah. 40 under 40.
I mean, if they've got like animals. They might have like a flying squirrel in there that like really would just be like chill. Be
the
like,
goats, the petting zoo animals would be.
Petting
would
zoo be, does not count. Get out of here.
What do you mean? They're in cages? Zoo does not.
Yeah, but they're like, they're farm animals.
Okay.
I feel like I used to watch some shows where they would do like imaginary fights between animals. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, who would win, like a lion or a bear? So.
And then if you projected
do that next year. Yeah.
And then if you projected that on the subway and everyone got to watch, that'd be sick.
People would be eating that up. Yeah. I would be amazing at having my videos on the subway screen. That's not a hot take at all.
We've got one more set of takes to discuss. The MTA should play piped in Muzak in all subway stations versus weed is too strong and New York State should pass a law to make it weaker. Do we have a definition of Muzak? Like, what does that actually mean?
Muzak is a trademark, right? It's a literal company that produces commerce-friendly, inoffensive
it's
tunes.
Covers fact, of pop songs that are extremely pared down to their
arrangements. Yeah,
our old office. We don't have to keep this in, but our old office on Avenue C, which was the former bank, had a literal button that said Muzak and a dial attached to it that you could turn the Muzak up. Pretty sweet. And which the subway should also have.
I don't like this idea. I disagree with this premise. Who does anybody here want Muzak in the subway?
Yes, I do. Desperately. I don't know. I'm like, I if I'm in the city, I want something going on in the background. Subways get too quiet. I get weirded out. And I just think like everyone would be a lot more chipper if there was just like some music that like, you know, kind of repeated eventually, but like not, you know, it's not like a hold music where like you reach the end and it starts again. It would be like, you know, you heard something and then you were like, oh, that was a jam, and then a few days later you hear it again and you're like, oh, that was great.
Have you guys seen the videos of the music that plays in North Korean cities at 6 a.m. every day, like blasted from public speakers? You should watch those videos. It really makes you think twice about socially mandated.
I'm just thinking of like the Mr. Softee jingle, which would be horrible. Like, you know, Max, I don't know, man. You would need a real the person at the Muzak button would really they'd need to be an elected official, basically, and the election would have to be held like every other week to ensure that proper music choice is happening there.
I think it would be really funny if the MTA put this policy into play before fixing literally anything else about the subway.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this was James Murphy's idea, which with Heineken, which is like, okay. He was like, we're gonna like, you know how like the subway turnstiles are like that annoying sound, and you're like, kind of, they're not that but what if but what if they made slightly more pleasant sounds? And it's like, this project will only cost tens of millions of dollars. And you're like, dog, like, yeah, literally everything else needs to be fixed before.
James Murphy is the king of cashing that check. Like, do not worry.
I'm going to come out strongly for thinking that New York State needs to protect its most vulnerable weed smokers, a.k.a. me. And not sell literal moonshine, you know, like when I walk in and I'm like, you know, I'm like, can you give me like the weakest thing here? And they're like, sure. And it's still
they hand you
way
a
too
shadow
strong.
Rig. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like, yeah. I got this chill thing right here. It's called Jackhammer 666.
Yeah.
It's very chill.
Right. It goes straight in your retina. It's weed. It's weed.
Oh no. It's good for sleeping. It's definitely good for bedtime.
Yeah, how much farther are we going to go with this? Can we get much higher? It's like really like, I don't know. It's like, what are we after at this point?
Right, like just do acid. Like take mushrooms.
Just
you don't need this concentration of weed to feel that way. You can move on to other things. Like leave weed for, you know, people who are just trying to chill.
I feel like an old man, but like the strength of the weed that the youth are smoking right now is insane.
I mean, to the extent that like we're not alone in feeling this way, it does raise the question of like why the free market hasn't
like served this niche.
There are products. I think one is literally called Dadgrass.
But that's like that's Delta not grass. Yeah, that's not real weed. I will say, I'm going to let Katie go because Katie has opinions, but then I have some facts.
What are your facts? You can say
All right. My facts are, I talked it over with a bunch of people who work for the Office of Cannabis Management over like why even the regulated weed is so strong. And that's because just from a straight up like free market perspective, the people that buy the most weed are the people that smoke a lot of weed, and you need to make weed that people who smoke weed smoke. So the people that can't smoke strong weed, they don't buy that much weed. It's not really worth it to like market anything for them. That being said, as they also pointed out, New York State has the crazy regulation that all of its flower that's grown has to be grown outside, which real weed heads think has made New York State's legal weed super weak, because weed not like grown inside hydroponically, constantly monitored and stuff, subject to the elements, just doesn't come out as strong. So New York State actually kind of has mandated weaker weed. And like, I'm sure there are strains one can find and smoke in the right amount to get the high that you want. Max with the facts.
Damn. One, I knew all that already. Two,
I might have read it all from a Katie article and then just been like, let me mansplain this.
No. What I'm hearing is from all of you is a chorus of skills issue. You know, skills issue that y'all can't find weed that does not make you scared. The law should deal with this. The law should deal with this with the slew of problems that the OCM already has. Just smoke less weed, you know? Like, these bud tenders, there's, like, 20 in every store. Like, they will devote a lot of time to talking to you and working with you. Maybe you're not going to the right store, Chris. I see you shaking your head. But you think legally it should be mandated that all weed, because some cannot handle the weed that's being sold in stores, everyone should have to suffer? That's going to drive people out of the legal market. Yeah. This is a worse idea than peacefully legalizing weed bodegas. I think it's absurd. And I don't even like, I'm not even smoking weed like that anymore, you know, but I smoked weed last night and legal weed, perhaps for the purposes of this podcast. I wasn't even that high. I went to sleep fine and I didn't get scared at all. So
you're a big Mutzak on the subway person, huh?
I know. I mean,
guys, imagine if you would. You're really comfortably high, and you're not scared.
Yeah, and I can handle any terrible Jason Derulo song. That's
right.
Going
and then I walk down into the F platform, and there's just like some beautiful Mutzak cover of Firework by Katy Perry.
That sounds good. Also,
yeah,
like,
right.
Just turn your headphones up. You know, again, this is all personal. I'm hearing like personal gripes. These are personal problems, you know. So I think, yeah, I mean, maybe the weed being too dry. No, because everyone thinks that. I'm sure all our readers think that. So like, cut that out.
No, all of our readers cannot smoke.
I don't believe many, but.
Has anyone heard this? Someone, I was complaining about this to someone else who smokes a lot of weed a few weeks ago, and she was like, it's because so much weed is sprayed with hash, or like a lot of the gray marketplaces like dip their stuff in hash oil to make it even stronger. And I was like, whoa, don't tell me that. But I don't want to start a panic here if that's not true.
Just let us smoke hash then. That sounds good.
Yeah,
I think that's what a lot of places say that they're doing. Like, I don't know if you actually like took it all to the lab, but like, yeah, a lot of the like pre-rolls you buy and stuff like that, like it says like hash, etc. The other thing that I'll say is that when you're buying legal weed in New York State, it's like the back of any like food label. Like, we have more information than ever, you know, about the weed that we're smoking if we're buying it legally. So once again, if it's too strong for you, you really do have all the tools to take your experience of finding that weed unpleasant and like going from there. Like, you know, I think it's okay if it's too strong for you, but imposing it on others.
You know, sometimes the hash is just too hydroponic. Like when it comes to like Delta 8 or Delta 9, it's like, especially with like with the gravity bongs, like you can become a little bit too much. Especially with like, if there's a choice between sativa and indica, it gets to a point where like the hydroponics are just like so intense that like it's not even a question of like hash dipped versus like hash hashed or like hash rehashed. It's like at that point it's more of a question, it's more a question of like strains, and it always just comes down to strains, you know.
Are you hitting a gravity bong like yeah, regularly? I can't, like, when was the last time you hit a gravity bong?
No, I mean, like, but like the glassware, it's well
like
it's
a bong. Like,
it yeah, no, no, but it depends.
I want our like, listeners to know Adlin's evading the question here.
When it comes to glassware, it's really a question of like hand blown versus like, because like when you get it made in the factory, it doesn't really resonate as much with the hydroponics, especially if you're using Delta 9. Like the CBD ratio is not going to be where you need it to be to like really achieve the indica. You know,
I can't tell what's going on here,
but I
shut it all down and figure out what the fuck is happening.
I like imagining that while Adlin's talking about like these factory made bongs, they're all like Baby Yoda or Psyduck. Like that's what he's smoking out of.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
If you want to see the full list of our hot takes, head on over to hellgatenyc.com. Hellgate is a worker-owned, subscriber-funded news outlet covering New York City. Support our work by subscribing at hellgatenyc.com. Our editorial team is Nick Pinto, Christopher Robbins, Esther Wong, Katie Wei, Max Rivlin-Nadler, and me, Adlin Jackson. Nadia Tykulsker is our business manager. Ben Elman is our producer. Our theme music is by Group Work. You can find their music on Bandcamp and all streaming platforms. During the week, check out hellgatenyc.com for daily reporting, in-depth investigations, and more stories about New York City. We'll see you next time.